Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Your home for everything Melodifestivalen. This is Melfest Monday. Nu kör vi!
Yes, here we are again then. Welcome to Melfest Monday. It's James here with you as together we look back at the first heat of Melodifestivalen 2024. We've just heard the songs that we lost on Saturday night, Melina Boylo and, perhaps surprisingly, Samia and Victor, along with Adam Woods and Elisa Lindstrom, both of whom have qualified to the new format second chance round that we'll see in a few weeks' time. What about the winners? Well, here are the moments they qualified direct to the final on Saturday night.
Smash into pieces! Deras tolva går till Lisa Ajax!
Yes, Smash Into Pieces and Lisa Ajax are the first artists to bag themselves a place in the final. On today's episode, we'll be digesting everything that happened on Saturday night with two expert guests. We'll then turn our attention to this coming Saturday and the second heat, which will see six more artists vying for a spot in the final in Stockholm. Speaking of those artists, we'll be chatting to three of them today. So that's 50% of them. You'll hear three of them on this week's episode of Melfest Monday. That's Liamo, that is Diasara, and Engman's Kapell. So we've got all that and more still to come.
When you aren't listening, find us on social media. At Eurotour Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
Let's introduce our panel for this week then. I've got two people who love stats possibly even more than I do. First up, from Bet Eurovision, ESC Insight, the local Sweden, OGE Sweden, goodness knows where else. Ben Robertson, hello.
I believe the Eurotrip podcast is where I am as well as that.
Yeah. You're becoming an increasingly prominent guest. So I think, yeah, we might have to list you as a presenter at some point. But thanks for popping along again, second time in a week. And also the Oracle himself, SVT's in-house Melody Festival expert and the man behind the Bible of Melfest, Melopedia. Please welcome Gustav Dahlander. Gustav, hello.
Hello. So lovely to be back here.
Ben, let me come to you first. You were in Malmö last week, and during the week, we spoke to you on the main episode of the Eurotrip. You were there for the handover ceremony, the semi-final allocation draw, and then you were there for Melfest rehearsals. What was the experience like?
Well, it was a pleasure, first and foremost, that I've got all my bearings around Malmö public transport and the Malmö Arena all ready for May. Melody Festival, of course, like that feeling when I got into the arena in Malmö and you see the thousands of people there, the families with the glitter and the balloons. There's a certain glow that Melody Festivalen has on location that is always a joy to experience. And that love is still there within the families in Sweden. And it's interesting. Anders Wisbach has said it on multiple occasions this season that Sweden, for the first time in their 7 victory history, want to try and win back to back, and he's said this repeatedly, said it in Malmö a couple of times as well. So we're all waiting to see what the number will be that Sweden will be sending, if it's going to be a Eurovision contender.
Yeah, we spoke to Karin Gunnarsson on the podcast last week, and she said the exact same thing. They're going to win, and it's almost like they'll accept nothing less, and that's kind of the fighting talk you want to hear. Gustav, that must, for a Swedish person like you, that must get you really excited to hear the coming songs over the coming weeks as well.
Yeah, definitely. And as Ben says, it is clear from what Karin says that she really do want to wreck the SVT budget for another year. Winning the Eurovision Song Contest, it's something that big artists really want to do these days, because it's clear that you can get a worldwide hit like the Marcos and Martinos, Danny Saucedo. These types of acts are not coming to Melody Festival and without any less dreams than winning the Eurovision Song Contest, obviously. So why wouldn't they want to pick the best song they can?
Well, speaking of big artists, let's go through Saturday night, because the first act that we got direct to the final, Ben, was Smash Into Pieces. And they are a big artist, not just in Melfest after their performance last year, but outside of the competition as well. They had a huge reaction in the arena, didn't they?
Well, one thing very interesting about Smash Into Pieces, and you kind of see the progression from last year's song to this year, they've become very popular with the children in the country. They came in last year as a rock band, and Melody Festivalen has made them very popular with the kids. And this song that they've presented and gone all the way to the final now, it has that anime movie soundtrack kind of feel to it. It's the absolute perfect number, I think, for a 7-8-year-old in Sweden going, that is cool. And it may be a niche reference, this one, but I think the Eurotrip can handle it. The staging and the production and the visuals in this, I've not seen anything as good as since Kazakhstan at Junior Eurovision. The attention to detail in this LED screen work is fantastic.
It is indeed, yes. And you were right. It was a niche reference. And I think Eurotrip podcast listeners can handle it. It's niche enough. It's niche enough for them. Gustav, in terms of bands actually doing so well at Melfest, are Smash Into Pieces sort of setting any new records? Or, you know, do we tend to see bands do 2 years in a row and go straight to the final both times?
Definitely not. It's not just 2 years in a row. A band hasn't reappeared in the final, that is, advanced to the final second time since 2003. That was the dance band Barbados, which had different singers for the two different years. But anyway, so bands do tend to struggle. We have seen groups, of course, making it several times to the final. But when you have this band setting with the drummer and guitarist and stuff, it's kind of harder to present visually, apparently, in Melody Festival. And SVT has been struggling with it throughout the years. And this we also see here the packaging of a rock act in Melodifestivalen. And maybe finally we have found the formula for this, because metal has been very visual for many, many years, and this should be able to work in Melodifestivalen much better than we have managed to make it work for the last few decades. So Hope Smash Into Pieces is a door opener.
And perhaps that package is helped by the one and only Jimmy Joker. We tend to talk about him quite a lot on Melfest Monday, because over the last few years he's become such a prolific songwriter. And he was a songwriter this year for them, and he was for their song 6 Feet Under last year as well.
Yeah, he's fantastic. He really deserves the credit, because it's this guy writing world hits for big acts in the US, and then he comes to Melodifestivalen and applies his full strength to it. And now he has made it to the final with 9 entries in a row. Yes, one of them made it through the semifinal last year. Otherwise, all of them have gone straight to the final. And that's 9 entries in a row since 2022. This upcoming week with Heat 2, he has Maria Sur and Liamo. So maybe that gives a hint for anyone who's a betting person.
I could see Ben's ears prick up there as you said it, as a betting person. We know Ben likes to place a bit of money on Eurovision and Melfest. Your ears pricking up there, Ben?
I'm well aware of such things. And Maria Sur and Liamo are also very, very good artists who are talking to talk about bringing some top-tier tracks for next week as well.
And we will come to all that a little bit later on, of course. But let's stick to Saturday night. Lisa Ajax, Ben, was the second artist to get that ticket to the final. I was a bit surprised, actually, because we looked at when she was in it last time. Of course, as a duet, she only managed to pick up one set of 12 points. But this week, she picked up quite a number.
I wasn't so hot on Lisa Ajax's qualification chances when I first heard the songs on the Tuesday. While I noted it was a well-produced ballad, beautiful strings and piano coming through in the track, I felt it lacked a little bit of emotion when I heard it. I thought it just got a bit too joyful for such a sad, upsetting topic in the chorus. But actually, when I was in the arena hearing this, I turned around to some of the others and went, yeah, that's going through. There's something about the way this builds the energy, gets to the chorus, and it just pops. I could just imagine everybody having their Saturday sweets on the sofa, having their ears pricked, turning around and going, yep, that's the one. And there's always a place for a well-sung ballad in the competition.
And Gustav, she's never missed out on a final as a soloist now, has she?
Oh yeah, that's true, actually. She didn't make it through in 2022, but had a big hit, even though the song finished last. But it was a duet, and the guy she was singing with, Niello, wasn't singing particularly well. So one could argue that degraded her chances on that occasion. And she was apparently very disappointed, but now she can be elated once more. So I think also her pregnancy could make her relatable to Swedish viewers, because they like this girl next door thing, a boy next door that, she's pregnant and she still goes up and does her thing. And also a late position in the running order, of course, helps, as well as a good staging that she had that stood out, and a strong song, strong vocals, and that created a strong overall appeal in the voting groups.
From one person who has been in the final plenty of times to somebody who is on the road, Gustav, it's fair to say, has tried Melfest twice before, hasn't made the final. Elisa Lindstrom has gone through to the new formatted second chance round. So this is the furthest she's actually made it in the competition in her three tries.
Yeah, exactly. And she brought, obviously, the big Schlager expression that has been relatively rare in Melodifestivalen, and it has its fans, and I know that they are elated that this type of song made it through. We could see in the votes that it was the older demographies that gave her the most votes, and in the younger demographies they are very intense in voting but didn't give her the highest score, so let's see what that will mean going ahead. Also, we should remember that this year in the finale kvalet, the final qualifications, which is the new second chance contest, we have 10 entries and just 2 making it to the final. So previously it was 8-4 making it to the final, so that's a 50% chance. Now it's just a 20% chance making it to the final. So you might see people going there, they won't be elated not making it to the final and just being in the contest, because they know they just have a 20% statistical chance to make it.
Yeah, a lot more difficult, it has to be said. The other song that went through to the new second chance round. So I keep saying new second chance round. Gustav, remind us what it's called.
Finalkvalet, the final, the qualifications for the final. I would translate that, right, Ben?
I've been calling it the final qualification round. Is that okay?
Yeah, I think it's okay. We don't have any official English translation, so we have to come up with something. So let's go with what Ben says.
There we go. We've come to a decision at least. The other artist to go through to that was Adam Woods, who, Gustav, it's fair to say, scored consistently well in those age groups in that final round of voting at the end, which often is the key to succeeding, isn't it?
Yeah, it was very even. He was only the favorite in the youngest age group, 3 to 9 years. And then he was number 2 in the 3 older ones, and then number 3 in the 2 even older ones. And then in the oldest, he was number 4. And in the phone voters, he was the last. So it was really clear that the younger people liked him and the older people liked him less, but definitely enough points to make it through with a good margin ahead of Samir and Victor.
Something I just want to check with you there, Gustav. I believe when we get to the final qualification round, it's like half of the points have carried over from the heats, but those points that we give out in the final qualification round, it's not the number of points that we've seen in the show.
No.
It's going to be the number of votes that they've got, like a proportion of the number of votes. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. This is how I understand it. So I do have all the facts and I have confirmed them, but I would like to see further confirmations before being completely confident. But I think it's like this, that it's the number of votes, not the points. And the number of votes are weighted based on the total number of votes in that heat. So if you have some other heat with a huge number of votes in, then that's good for you, provided that those votes were not given to your contenders in the final qualifications. So it's weighted between the heats based on the number of votes, not the viewing figure. That would be logical, but we don't have the viewing figure for heat 5 when we have the final kvalet, because that's part of heat 5. And then you combine those points that they got in the heats with the points that they get in the final kvalet.
Yes, I'm waiting to see the dress rehearsal before I write the ESC Insight article explaining how the voting works.
Yeah.
The reason I bring that up, though, is that although Adam Woods was fourth, it is possible that he might, in that final qualification round, start ahead of Elisa. Elisa got most of the top scores from the older demographics, and I've assumed that there's less people voting in those blocks compared to the younger population, for example. So it would be possible that Adam Woods might have got more votes than Elisa and therefore maybe would start higher despite him finishing fourth.
Yeah, it would just be a recap of the songs anyway, so they would not be performing live. So not clear how strong an impression the running order will have, but of course it will have one impact. Also, as far as I've been informed, we will have no viewer groups, no age groups in the final quality. It's just the number of votes.
My instinct on that is that's going to really favour the songs that pick up radio play, Spotify play, and really engage the younger demographics. And there's much more chance for Adam Woods now. He has an entire month before that next round of voting, and Supernatural is a kind of song that's going to be played in every single gym up and down of Sweden. That is perfect going to the gym music. In a way, I love my schlager. That's not mainstream radio music in Sweden anymore.
Yeah, I think even though it does seem a little bit more complex, I think the permutations that we could get from this are even more intriguing for people like us who do enjoy the stats and that sort of thing. It creates a bit more jeopardy, I think it's fair to say. The two artists we've not mentioned yet, let's quickly touch on them. Samir and Victor, of course, making their Melfest return. Ben, I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say vocally they weren't exactly 100% on the night worthy.
No. Even on a Samir and Victor level, I think they have done better Melody Festival performances than what we heard on Saturday night. I enjoyed the YouTube comments referring to it as a dad's at 3 a.m. at the karaoke machine. But you know what? They have charisma, and I thought they might have done a touch better than this, because I wasn't sure. For me, I thought the whole Samir and Victor stick here, I've heard it before, and I wanted their sound to evolve. I think even Sweden will be like, you need to do it differently now. They finished second in the audience poll on the Friday, which would have been a direct qualification place, and they got the biggest cheers, like, as the artists were announced on the Friday night. And I'm thinking, okay, Sweden still loves these guys. So it's based on what we saw on Friday, it was quite a big shock that they actually fell as low as second last. But I think it's healthy for the competition. The Swedish Melody Festival, and as we increasingly compare it to other national finals around Europe, it does need to have something that brings freshness and innovation to the song contest.
And finally, let's quickly touch on Melina, who is somebody has to finish last, of course. It's in every heat, and sadly for her, it was Melina. But generally, Gustav, I think, you know, we might go on to the stats a little bit earlier on about debutantes. We can dive into that a little bit later on, because we've got a few in heat number two. But generally, despite the results, she seemed quite happy on the night, didn't she?
Yeah, she seemed extremely happy, almost too happy. It's important in Melody Festival and that you do smile. Even if it's a sad song, you should smile a little, because people need that. Otherwise, you won't get the votes, plainly speaking. But maybe she was too merry and almost like out of focus or something like that. But I suppose that's just her personality.
Gustav, Ben, thank you so much for that analysis. Stay right there, because we will be back to look ahead to heat number two right after this.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Your home for everything Melody Festivalen. This is Melfest Monday.
Welcome back to Melfest Monday from us here at the Eurotrip. More from Ben and Gustav soon when we look ahead to heat number two. Don't forget, we'd love to hear from you. If you've got any thoughts on Melfest or anything to respond to what Ben and Gustav have said so far, get in touch. We are at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. You can also follow us on TikTok as well. We're on Threads. We are hello@eurotrippodcast.com on the email. And as well, don't forget to head to eurotrippodcast.com to read all of our exclusive stories. And if you fancy it, you can head to buymeacoffee.com/eurotrippodcast if you'd like to support what we are doing here on the podcast. But now it is time for the Melfest Monday Hall of Fame. Our version of the Melody Festivalen Hall of Fame. Now, last week, both Rob and I chose what we believed to be Sweden's best ever Swedish language song at the Eurovision Song Contest. I chose Satellite. Rob chose Diggiloo Diggiley. We then put those to a poll on Twitter. And sadly for me, you overwhelmingly sided with Rob, meaning the Hurrays are the first act to be inducted into our Hall of Fame in 2024. But this week, we need your help with the second category. This week, we are on the hunt for Sweden's best home entry at the Eurovision Song Contest. So songs that Sweden sent to represent them when they hosted the contest. Not many to choose from, but of course, more than many other countries who have been to the Eurovision Song Contest. There's only six candidates for us to choose from. But first of all, let's hear what Rob has chosen.
Hi, James. It is me. It's Rob here again. Once again, tremendous job on Melfest Monday this week. Very much enjoying listening along and experiencing the whole thing as a listener. So very much enjoying it. Thank you very much. Have to say, you took quite the beating, didn't you, on the Melfest Monday Hall of Fame last week? Now, can I make it two? I understand that we are doing best home entries from Sweden. Well, I'll keep it short and sweet because I don't really feel the need to try because I think this is going to win it. I don't know what else you could pick, but it's not going to be as good as this. My entry into the Melfest Monday Hall of Fame this week is Roger Ponteret with When Spirits Are Calling My Name. It represented Sweden on home soil in Stockholm in the Globen back in 2000. Roger Ponteret himself had a few difficulties, had a few issues over the last few years, but this song remains a classic. So this is my contribution this week.
Well, that is Rob's choice. But for me, I'm going to go back a little bit further in time to when Kiki Danielsson represented Sweden with Bra Viva Hune. Yes, this was the home entry for Sweden at Eurovision in 1985. It was hosted that year in Gothenburg by the legendary Lill Lindfors. But yes, Kiki Danielsson, so much fun, so energetic, and the song is just classic schlager, and I love it. We'll be putting those to a poll on our Twitter account, at Eurotrip Podcast, at some point on Monday, for you to choose which one gets inducted into our very own Melfest Monday Hall of Fame. So who are you siding with, me or Rob? Go and have your say over on the poll on our Twitter account.
Your home for everything Melodifestivalen. This is Melfest Monday.
Now it is time to hear from some of the artists who will take to the stage in Gothenburg on Saturday night. First up, it's Dear Sara. She is a Swedish Sami artist who grew up actually in Sweden's most northern town. So quite the trek down to Gothenburg for her. She's tried her luck on The X Factor in Sweden and nowadays finds herself working at Swedish Radio on their Sami language radio station. I managed to catch up with her last week and this is what happened. Sara, welcome to Melfest Monday. How are you?
Thank you. I'm so fine. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Yes, and it's great to have you here. It's great to chat. You are about to make your debut in Melodifestivalen. How does that feel?
Oh my God, it feels so amazing. And I'm also very nervous about it, but it's very exciting as well.
Why is now the right time? What made you think, okay, I've got a song, I want to submit it. What was the moment that you thought this is going to be the right time?
I really love this song. And I also think that it's because I'm a bit older now. I feel that I can handle this.
So take us back to the moment where you wrote the song, The Silence After You, it's called. What is the inspiration for the song?
The song is about rising up after a very hard period of time. And it's about the being true to yourself. So this song is very important to me. And that's why it means so much that I'm part of Melodifestivalen now, and it's this song because I really love this song.
You submitted the song, and then you have to just wait and find out if it's a yes or a no for Melfest. So, where were you when you got the call? Did somebody ring you up, or what happened when somebody said, yes, you're in Melfest?
So I was at work, and my manager called me, and yeah, that was crazy. She tricked me a little bit because she was at first she was like, "Oh yeah, what are you doing? How are things going?" Like that, and I was like, "Okay, yeah," because I got my answer pretty late. I got the answer in like November, so I had already been like, "Okay, I won't get in."
So I was going to say, you must have thought, nah, they're not going to say yes to me this time, and you'd kind of moved on, right?
And I'm so used to that because I've been trying to get in for years now. So and I'll always they never called me. So this was crazy.
You were at work, so you had to keep this a secret from your co-workers, your colleagues, did you?
I had to keep it a secret. And it was so hard. I had to keep it a secret for a lot of people, and I just wanted to tell everyone about it. So it was really hard to be quiet about it and to not talk about it. So yeah.
What can we expect from the song? I know you have to be very secretive. You can't say too much, but what can you tell us? What is the genre, I guess, that it'll give us a bit of an idea about what it's going to sound like?
It's like a pop song, and it's very powerful. It has beautiful lyrics. I hope that it will like comfort people maybe. So yeah, I really hope that people will like it.
What are your expectations? What do you hope to achieve in Melfest this year?
Right now, I'm just thinking about being a part of this. So that's the first step, and it would be so lovely to get to the finals. That would be crazy, because people don't really know who I am right now. So it would be so amazing to just, get to the finals.
Sara, thank you so much for your time, and let me just wish you the very best of luck for Melfest this year.
Thank you so much.
Thanks to Dear Sara for her time. Best of luck to her, of course, for Saturday night. Let's now hear from Liamo. He is back in Mello yet again, this time with a song titled Dragon. You might remember him from a couple of years ago. He finished fourth in the final in 2022 and returned last year, actually, as a songwriter for Paul Ray's song Royals, which finished seventh in the final. Now, Rob caught up with Liamo recently, and this is what happened.
Liamo, welcome to Melfest Monday.
Thank you so much.
I want to take you back to the 12th of March, 2022. That's the last time that we spoke. We were chatting immediately after the Melodifestivalen final. You said these words. I've written down exactly what you said to me. Everything that's happened tonight, it just makes me want to come back here and try again. 2 years later, here we are. It's happening.
Yep, I'm back. I'm actually back sooner than I expected because I promised a Swedish journalist actually that I wasn't gonna come back for like 3 to 5 years because that's what he told me. He was like, "Yeah, you can return, but maybe not in like 3 to 5 years." And I was like, "Okay, I promise you that." 1 year later, I'm back.
Somebody else on our team was chatting to Anders Retov, one of your
Oh yeah.
songwriters, of course. He was saying that I think you submitted a few songs this year, didn't you?
Actually, I was down in the writing camp at Vretov's studio. You have two sessions a day, so you have like 2 hours in one studio, and then you grab some lunch, and then you go back to your second session for the day, and then you have like, yeah, they say 2 hours, but the second session is always the longest one or the longer one. So if you're doing it good, you have six songs
each. Wow.
On 3 days. And I made six songs, and Dragon was one of them. And I felt like this song is a good song, but it kind of, I really wanted it to be in Melodifestivalen, because then I can create the whole package, like show the people the whole vision that I saw when I came up with the song idea.
I want to ask you more about the song in just a second. I want to ask you about another song first. It's maybe a song that you weren't expecting me to ask about. It's the song that you made for your daughter, which again you posted on your Instagram.
You know, I have like a working space at home, and she's always been so curious. As soon as I enter my workspace, she's like, she's walking to her, or no, she's not walking. She's running towards her room, and she's just like looking at the screen, and then she's looking at me, and then she's looking at the screen. And then I played the beat loud, and it was that beat that's on Instagram. And then she started like, and she started singing. So I was like, oh, damn, I need to turn on the microphone. So, yeah, I recorded it. Then I fixed the vocals a little bit, and we made a video to it.
It's such a cute video. People listening to this have to go and check it out. It's on your Instagram. It's very, very, very fun. Now, we should probably talk more about Melodifestivalen, and as much as I would love to talk more about that. Obviously, we've already mentioned that Dragon is the song that you are competing with this year. Why the song, and what makes the song so special? Because you said that you wouldn't have been back in Melo so soon had it not been for this song.
It's what I always wanted it to be. Let me tell you this. All the other songs that I had, Last Breath, Hold You, Bluffin, those songs found me, but now it feels like I found the song instead. I went into the studio with Anders Brethov, Jimmy Joker, and Kill J. It's Julie Argard from Denmark. And I was like, I entered the studio and I said, I want to make a song called Dragon. And I want it to be like this. In this world, I want it to sound like this. They were like, hell yeah, okay, let's go.
But for them, that must be really refreshing.
Yeah, I mean, in a situation like that, it's really important to listen to everyone in the room. So I wasn't like closing out or shutting out other ideas that they had. I was just like bringing the first idea. I was like, I see this, I hear this, I want it to be about this, and I want it to be called Dragon. And then, you know, Joker, he was like bringing the melody ideas, and Julie with the lyrics, and Anders with the production, and, you know, everything just went so great. It went really fast, actually. And then when we made that song, you know, the last day of the camp is the day that all of us play all of the songs. So everyone in the whole place gets to hear all of the songs. And yeah, that one got like a really good reaction.
You won't be able to tell me much, but is it similar in any way to any of your previous Melodifestivalen entries, or is this one a whole new game? This is a whole new vibe.
This is a whole new vibe. It is. You know, I always have like not like a technique, but I don't want to come back with the same thing that I just did. That can turn out really boring. And I have this side that I really want to show, and I feel like it's so much Liamo that it can be. It's so much me, and it's, you know, I'm being true to myself performing this and showing this song, because I really love this song.
I can see you getting excited yourself just talking about it. You just want to be there. You want to be on stage. I mean, you've set yourself such a high bar. You were second with the international jury in 2022. Mm. You were fourth overall. Presumably, the aim is, as it always is to win and to go to Malmö, right?
All the way. I would lie to you if I told you other things. but yeah, it would be an honor to represent my own country in my country.
Liamu, thank you so much for chatting to us. I really, really appreciate it. And
thank
all the best
you so
of luck.
Much, my guy.
A big thanks to Liamo then, and of course to Rob as well for taking time out of his busy schedule to speak to Liamo and bring us that chat here on Melfest Monday. Now, finally, we're going to hear from Engmans Kapelle. Now, they, like Diasora, who we heard from just a moment or so ago, they are debuting at Melfest this year. They are a six-piece folk band who also come from the north of Sweden, and their song is in fact named after the region they hail from. So let's hear from them now. This is what happened when I sat down with Per and Jukka from Engmans Kapelle. So let's welcome Per and Jukka from Engmans Kapelle. Welcome both to the Eurotrip.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It is great to have you both here. Per, let me come to you first. You guys have been a band for quite a number of years now. How is it only now we are getting you in Melfest? Why is it taking so long?
I suppose it all came together because one of the producers of the Swedish Melfest saw us at a festival a couple of years ago, and she told our manager to tell the guys to send in a song. At that time, we had just received a song from three songwriters that we have been working with before, and we thought this would do great in the Melfest. So we sent it in, and we hoped for the best, and we were close that year, but then we tried again the next year, and now we got to enter.
Tell us about these songwriters as well, because I've had a look at the names, and for Melfest fans over the last 2 decades, they will recognize the names of these songwriters because they have worked together a lot in Melodifestivalen.
Yes, they have. I'd say maybe about 10 years ago, they had a lot of songs. We have a Swedish singer called Jill Jonsson, who's a country singer. They wrote her song Crazy in Love, and they did a song called La Dolce Vita. And all these songs have been like they really get stuck in your head when you hear them. Very catchy melodies and good songs.
That is good news for your song this year, then.
Yeah,
surely.
It is.
It's going to be a good melody to get stuck in the head.
That's what we're hoping for.
And the song itself, Norland, is written, mm-hmm. I presume, about the region of Sweden, surely?
Yes, it is. It's the northern part, northern region of Sweden where we come from.
And Jukka, it's not the first time you've actually written about or performed a song about Norland either, is it? I was listening to another one of your songs a little bit earlier on, which was about the same place.
Yes, and actually written by the same guys. they wrote a song called Norrlands glimmande guld. Translation, maybe it's the shimmering gold of Norrland, Northland or something. And that song was recorded in the end late 1990s and released 2000. So it's been with us for a while.
Our first single.
First single, and that was the first time me and the drummer actually played in the band. It was on the album release. They wanted some reinforcement in the band. So since then we've been a part of the band. So that's been a significant and important song for us as well.
For people who want to get to know the band a little bit more and maybe get to know what to expect in your Melfest song this year, is it worth just listening to, you know, some of your previous songs? Is it that same kind of genre that we will expect in your Melfest song this year?
Yeah, I think so. You can hear the folk roots with the fiddle and the strong melodies, and I think that we always had in our music. So you will recognize us.
Which is great news, because I was listening to some of your stuff earlier on and my foot was tapping away. It's really jolly. It's really, really fun to listen to. So I'm excited to hear it. And I think it may well stand out in the show as well, because I don't think, you know, looking at the other artists in your competition on the Saturday night, I don't think anybody else is going to bring that same kind of vibe, are they?
I think it's more of an electronic music, more modern sounding music with our fellow contestants. I think we will stand out in a way, because we're a band and we play like
real instruments.
Real instruments, you said. Yeah, real instruments with a happy vibe. I mean, you put your finger on it there. We're quite happy on stage, and we've been so for as long as I can remember.
What is the goal for the competition? You know, is it to get to the final and win and get to Eurovision, or along the same road is also, you know, just to get yourself out there a bit more, maybe get your music to a new audience as well?
I'd say that's the most important part, to reach a new audience and perhaps get out more, to have more gigs, because that's what we want to do. We want to play as much live as we can.
No, I have to agree. I mean, it's such a joy to be part of this and just be participating. At the same time, it would be lovely to be in the finals, to be able to perform in France Arena, or Strawberry Arena, I think it's called now.
And have you ever performed in that arena before? That must be like a huge goal, because it's such a big arena as well, isn't it? Not just the live audience at home, but just the, what is it, 30,000 people in that arena? That would be quite a performance to a crowd, wouldn't it?
Even the first our contest in Gothenburg, will be the biggest live audience we ever performed for.
Really? Really?
Actually, yes. Yeah, yes.
Yeah. And is that nerve-wracking at all, that you're going to be in an arena environment that you wouldn't normally be in?
No, I'm more thrilled, you know, I'm so looking forward to it. I think it's going to be great.
Per Jukka, thank you so much for your time, and I wish you the best of luck for Mello this weekend.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, James. Nice to talk to you.
So a big thanks to Per and Jukka from Engman's Kapell for joining us here on this week's episode of Mellfest Monday. Now, Gustav and Ben have been waiting in the wings to come back in. I know we had to speak to a few of the artists there, but we managed to get through them, and Gustav and Ben are back with us to focus on everything for heat number two, to go through all of the permutations that we could possibly have. Gustav, given you are back on Mellfest Monday, I'm going to allow you to take us through the songs and artists that we're going to look forward to.
Okej, Melodifestivalen 2024, deltävling 2. Number 1, Maria Sur. Number 2, Engmans Kapell. Number 3, Dear Sarah. Number 4, Sijo. Number 5, Liamo. And finally, number 6, Fröken Snusk.
Wonderful stuff. Gustav, thank you so much. Ben, I'm going to come to you first. We'll go through them one by one in the order we'll see them perform. Maria Sur, she is back. And when we did our episode back in November, I think, when the artists were announced, we spoke to Stina Dahlgren from Aftonbladet. And I think she said that she may well be hoping to see a Maria Sur victory. At least she thinks it might happen. What do you think Maria would need to bring in order to win Mellfest this year?
Well, we understand already this song's going to be in a completely different musical universe to what we heard from last year's entry from Maria Sur. We are now getting the Maria Sur entry that she always wanted to bring to the festival, and which is going to be the absolute banger. This is going to be up-tempo. This is going to be a little bit dark, but powerful. Really show off Maria Sur as an artist. I've got reasonably high expectations, partly from the songwriter list. We already mentioned Jimmy Joker in the first half about his track record of production of these kind of numbers. But also, I've got the impression that she's being given a run, Maria Sur. And she's being given a chance not just to come in for a year, sing a nice song, get to the final, but to actually try and establish herself in Sweden. I had a chat with her at that artist launch, not for an interview, but about learning Swedish and going to Swedish classes. She's investing time and energy into giving it a proper go, and it's good to see.
And I want to say that another of the songwriters of her songs is Anders Vletov, and he has, after Melodifestivalen 2024, competed with 38 songs, which actually puts him on number 4 ever in that marathon table. So he's the fourth most prolific songwriter in Melodifestivalen. And this week he piggybacks on Jimmy Joker and competes with Maria Sur and Liamo.
Now, speaking of strong songwriters, we move to song number two from Engmans Kapelle. We've just been speaking to them there. I'm certainly looking forward to hearing what they bring, because they've got some big name songwriters on their track as well, haven't they, Gustav?
Yeah, definitely. They have a lot of Melodifestivalen history. It's Larry Forsberg, Lennart Wasterson, and Sven-Inge Sjöberg, the so-called Gävle trio. Gävle is a town that they are from. And they have competed with so many songs in the history of Melodifestivalen, and notably La Dolce Vita with After Dark in 2004 and Crazy in Love with Jill Johnson in 2003. And they also were going to take part with Himmel för två with Anna Book in 2016. But they were the ones that kind of made the song being disqualified. You said that Anna Book got disqualified. She didn't get disqualified. She didn't do anything wrong. They were the ones who actually did something wrong, because they submitted the song to the Moldovan Eurovision Song Contest selections and didn't take note that the song was published on YouTube.
This song is called Norland. Gävle happens to be, according to the first line of Wikipedia here, the oldest city in the historical Norland. And of course, it's very culturally important to have Norland representation in Melodifestivalen this year, because all the arenas in the north of Sweden were fully booked and there's no Melodifestivalen going on a tour to the north, which from a public service broadcasting point of view is always very important. The actual press release that came out when SVT announced the six arenas for this year's tour was very apologetic straight away. I'm like, we're really sorry. We tried to get a place in Norland, but we couldn't do so. So I'm expecting Carina Bear to make at least one or two gags about that in next week's script.
And that's actually interesting, because Norland only has 1/10 of the population of Sweden. So it's not logical that Melodifestivalen has to go to a part of the country that has 1/10 of the population, provided that everyone has the equal value. So actually that ethics put more emphasis on geography than distribution of the population.
Ben, let's chat about Dear Sara. Again, we spoke to her just a few moments ago. And one thing that really stood out to me was that she's got a very softly spoken voice when she actually speaks. But she promised a very powerful pop song. And I can't quite marry that up with the way she actually speaks. So that might be an interesting one to see what she actually brings on Saturday.
Yes, I think that's one where, like, in Heat 1 of Melodifestivalen, other than Melina, not only were they all names returned to Melodifestivalen, but they were all very well-known names to the Melodifestivalen public. Dear Sara is going to be one with a lot of intrigue in that sense, because there's a lot unknown from a Swedish Melodifestivalen viewing public about her.
Gustav, shall we chat about debutantes in general? Because we've got quite a few in this heat alone, haven't we?
Yeah, definitely. There is so much statistics about debutantes, of course. We have four debutantes in this heat and out of the six entries. So the only time actually since 2018 that we had that high amount of debutantes in a heat was heat three in 2023. So it just happened one time during this period. So it's been rare, but this year we will actually see it two more times. So there's a lot of debutantes this year.
And how do they tend to fare? Because do we ever, I don't know, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but how often do we see a debutante actually win Melfest? Is that quite a difficult thing to achieve?
Yeah, it is difficult to achieve. We saw it in Tusse, for example, in 2021. But if you look in the heats, as we have now, the stage of the heats, since 2021, for the last 3 years, we have 90 entries who have competed in Melodifestivalen in the heats. 41 of those have been performed by debutant artists, so that's 46%. 26 entries have advanced straight to the final from the heats during these 3 years. I also count heat 1 2024 here. Mm. Six of these have been debutants, so 26 entries going straight to the final, six debutants. This was Tusse, Anders Bagge, Medina, Maria Sur, Marcus and Martinus, and Smash Into Pieces. So that's 23% of the entries advancing straight to the final are debutantes. So 46% debutantes, 23% debutantes going to the final. But actually 50% of these were last season, so maybe the tides are turning a little bit. But to sum up, it almost takes seven debutantes in Melodifestivalen in a heat to advance one debutante to the final, while it's enough with 4.5 returning artists to advance one of them to the final.
Jumping on to our next debutante in the show on Saturday is Cijo, who, Gustav, I've picked this up from Melopedia, I must admit. He says he's a pioneer of Afrobeats, especially in the Swedish Afrobeat scene. And I think, is it helpful to an artist who comes from a scene like that? Because perhaps they might get a lot of support from people who are fans of that genre. Perhaps they're not a fan of Cijo himself, but if they see their genre of music being represented, they may want to get behind him.
Yeah, generally speaking, we have two songs from the Afrobeat genre, as it were, in Melody Festival in 2024. The other one is Chelsea Mucho in Heat 5. And we haven't had this very much before in Melody Festival. But this Afrobeat genre is big internationally, but hasn't become big in Sweden yet. So Sweden is lagging behind in that way. And we will see if things have changed now and if the genre will kind of have a breakthrough in Melody Festival in 2024.
No, it's going to be one very excited to see. We've also got some Norland representation. Also somebody else who's a grown-up in Gävle here. So something there, maybe split the Norland vote, goodness me.
And I want to add that this is really the heat of Norland. I was mentioning 1/10 of the Swedish population, but we have Engmans Kapell, who is from Norland and sings a song called Norland. We have Dear Sarah, who is from Karesuando, which is the absolute northernmost village in Sweden. Just look for her hometown on the map and you will be amazed. And we have Cijo, who's from Gävle. So that's also in Norland. And we have Fröken Snusk singing the epadunk genre, which is big among young people in, for example, Norland. So they would be completely confused, that 10% of the population, what they will vote for.
Let's go to Liamo then, because he's slowly becoming a stalwart of Melody Festival. And it almost seems like just 2 minutes ago that he made his debut back in 2018. But we've seen him in some capacity in 5 of the last 7 years, Gustav.
Yeah, and he's been doing very well, you know. He always makes it to the final. He took part as an artist. This is his fourth time as an artist, right? And if he goes straight to the final, it's 4 entries out of 4 straight to the final from a heat for him. So that would be a tied record in that case, together with greats such as Mariette, Erik Sade, Danny Saucedo, Robin Bengtsson, and Jon-Henrik Fjällgren. And he also advanced 1 straight to the final as a songwriter with Paul Ray's Royals last year.
Let's do our last artist then. Gustav, I'll come to you first. We're talking about Fröken Snusk here. Because recently there's been somewhat of a scandal regarding her streaming on Spotify and stuff like that. Can you try and digest that situation for us?
Yeah, I try my best. If Toby Ek from Aftonbladet would have been here, he would have really said that this is the most important thing to talk about here in terms of news. Because she has been all over the news for weeks and weeks and weeks for now in Sweden, and not the musical notes, the general notes. And there have been podcast episodes and the biggest news podcasts about her. And at the same time, they have put a lot of focus on her music. So people are kind of, oh, this is a good song, and starting to listen to her music. But what happened was that Spotify removed her songs, a portion of them or all of them. And I don't think that they said explicitly why. But the assumption is that it's because of streaming irregularities, which usually means that someone has bought streaming. You can buy streaming, which isn't illegal, I believe, but it's like a market manipulation. Mm. And then you would say that she was the, I think, 9th most streamed artist in Sweden last year. Even if you include Taylor Swift and everybody, she was 9 on that list. So she's been regarded as a real top pick for Melody Festival, and it's prestigious that Melody Festival can get her to take part. And then it seems like someone might have bought streams. There is no evidence. So the newspaper Expressen, which is the main competitor to Aftonbladet, had an essay about that she should be pulled back from Melody Festival and disqualified because of this. So they really came out hard, and Melody Festival responded that way. We don't have any evidence whatsoever, so obviously we can't disqualify anyone based on this.
And that's not just, of course, with the scandal behind the scenes as well, but also on stage, because Fröken Snusk is going to be performing this epadunk genre, which is going to be worthy of an ESE Insight in-depth piece to try and explain how on earth this countryside EDM infused bit of Russian music influenced from Norway genre came to be, like this huge, like forget buying streams or not, this is a huge genre on Swedish Spotify, and Fröken Snusk is one of the highest profile names in this genre by a long way. And it's so easy for a tabloid journalist to spin all of that, because Fröken Snusk is a character with a secret identity and always has a pink balaclava on their head, and therefore it's easier for us journalists to be perhaps a little bit mean and ask them to be disqualified from competition, because it's not, we don't see a real person, we see a character. And all of this here means that this is the most anticipated act of the night. Now the question mark's going to be for Melody Festivalen, because this genre of music, this is particularly popular from the 15 to the 18 year olds, because Epidunk is linked to the Epa, or the A-Tractor now called Vehicles, these little cars that teens of Sweden are allowed to drive with moped licenses.
Yeah, and the cars Ben mentioned, they can drive up to 30 kilometers an hour. And incidentally, that is the title of the song performed by Lia Larsson in Heat 4, which is also in the same genre. I just want to say that.
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that. I was just... I don't know it off the top of my head. I've just quickly Googled it. The song wouldn't sound as good if it was called 18.6411 miles per hour, would it? Thank you both for taking us through all that. Ben, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
And Gustav, thank you so much. And thanks from everybody for all the work you're doing on Melopedia.
Thanks. It was a pleasure.
A huge thanks to Gustav and Ben for joining us here on this week's episode of Melfest Monday, a jam-packed episode for you to try and cover everything, or as much as possible, and yet I feel we only scratched the surface. There was so much more to last Saturday, and there is perhaps, by the sounds of things, a lot more to come on this coming Saturday night for Heat number 2. So sorry if we didn't cover everything you wanted to know, but I'm sure you are a lot more up to date than you were about an hour or so ago. Do let us know what you thought. We'd love to hear from you. We are at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok and Threads and almost everywhere else. We are hello@eurotrippodcast.com on the email. You can read all of our exclusive stories over on eurotrippodcast.com. And if you'd like to, you can support what we do here on the pod over on buymeacoffee.com/Eurotrip Podcast. Now, we will be back with you on Wednesday for your regular episode of the Eurotrip. We'll be rounding up everything that's happened in the last 7 days of the Eurovision Song Contest. We've got a good lineup of guests to bring you this week as well, as we look ahead to this coming weekend in the world of Eurovision 2. Don't forget, in the meantime, you can subscribe, leave us a review, and rate us 5 stars. And from me, James, for the first time this week, it is goodbye.